Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Take
it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
What up, what up, what up? It is Eric Hultgren and Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. Ken is out this week, so in a couple minutes, we will bring in Josh Murundy. He is the drummer for Pop Evil, and they are on the road heading out west. I think New Mexico is where they're heading. We talked to him earlier today. We will talk about UFC on Fox for this weekend. We will talk Lyoto Machida. At the time he and I were talking, Dan Henderson had not been rebooked, although it looks like there's a report this afternoon he will be fighting Hector Lombard at UFC 199, I should say, which the irony there is not lost on me, right? Because when you hear what Josh and I talk about, we talk a lot about people trying to make the comparison to Lyoto not knowing what he's taking and Hector Lombard not knowing what he was taking, and the difference between the two cases. So that's coming up in a couple minutes. We will cover that. The other huge news today is, of course, that the UFC is set to make their pay-per-view debut November 12th at Madison Square Garden, which could that be Ken's widely rumored return of Ronda Rousey taking on Holly Holm. That will be a long break for Holly, an even longer break for Ronda, but that could be what we are looking at, my friends. November 12th, pay-per-view, Madison Square Garden. It is finally happening. A very big day for MMA and an interesting story to follow along. The other story that, of course, everyone is talking about this week after this weekend in Ireland is the death of Ioan Cavallo, who was fighting in Ireland this past weekend, suffered a third round TKO, and then immediately was rushed to the hospital. They did brain surgery on him, and then he died 48 hours later. There's a lot of things here that we have to play guessing games on because we don't get to see all of the things. I've only seen the last minute of the fight, which makes it really hard to get a grasp on what was happening prior to that exchange. Because on first glance, right, it doesn't really look like the stoppage was super late. Little late, maybe, but not in my visualization of that last minute. Nothing I would find egregious. Cavallo obviously is on his knees after the fight is stopped and then sort of collapses on his side. In back, he was complaining of headaches, and that's when they shipped him off to the hospital. So he obviously had some sort of head trauma that happened in the fight. But this is the thing is, you know, a lot of people are pointing at the New York Post article that says MMA fighter punched to death in cage in Ireland. And those things are going to happen. I'm afraid, though, that these things are not necessarily anomalies. When you partner this with the stories that Dada 5000 is telling about having two heart attacks and being pronounced dead and all the things that came out of his fight in Bellator, if you looked at the fight in Bellator of Kimbo and Dada 5000, it looks terrible. It's a terrible fight of two guys who are really, really out of shape and at the time seemed comedic until one of them was in a coma. Then it's not so comedic. So at the Bellator level, they're dancing with this or had been dancing with this, and they didn't have this tragedy happen to them. Cavallo and Cavallo's family and the promoter in Ireland had this tragedy happen to them. And there are lots of people who are going to be pointing at MMA and saying, see, I told you so. And they're not wrong. And the other thing is, we have to understand that we can make all the arguments we want about it being safer than boxing. We can make all the arguments we want of it being safer than playing in the NFL. We can make all the arguments we want of it being safer than it was 25 years ago. And all of those might be facts grounded in some science. Here's the thing that this sport is not. This sport is not safe. This sport is two men that get in a cage and fight for a living at an extremely high level. And 1 second of hesitation can cause you to go from consciousness to unconsciousness. And there was a video that I know the fighter and the kid shared it, and it was floating around, where they had a jello mold of the brain, and the doctor that was holding it shook the skull just a little bit, and you could see the impact of the brain slamming into the front and then again slamming into the back of the skull. And the movement he made was so slight that it will tell you what's happening to your brain when you're being punched in the head and or concussed and or taking serious brain damage that leads to death, as was at least the observable case of what happened this past weekend. Cavallo passed the medicals. Cavallo seemed to weigh in fine. And then still this tragedy struck. This is something that I think there's still, we need a lot more information, and we may never get it, right? Because it's not like this happened in the UFC. That's not to say it couldn't happen in the UFC. It nearly happened in Bellator. So it certainly could happen in the UFC. And if it did, there would be more oversight and more things to add up to see exactly what happened. Even in the Bellator case, there are some things where you can kind of see what's going on in a way that you are not having the insight or the transparency to what's going on in Ireland, because there isn't really the oversight in this particular organization in Ireland that you have with a UFC or a Bellator. Either way, this is a huge, huge tragedy, and something that I think we want to pay pretty close attention to over the next couple weeks and months as more comes out about this, because I fear what's going to happen is the white hot attention it's getting right now from both sides of the spectrum. The MMA fans who are trying to defend the sport and figure out a way to find out what happened to this fighter that caused this tragedy, and the people on the other side that have been waiting for 25 years to say, "I told you so." Now, We as fans of this sport have been extremely lucky with the very few tragedies that have happened in mixed martial arts, including the death in New Mexico, where that fighter was over 35 and they did not do the extra tests on him that they should have done, and may or may not have contributed to the factors that led to his tragedy as well. The fact that you can really only name these two off the top of your head, at least on a semi-pro level, I think speaks more to luck than to skill in most cases, because if you've gone to any of these pro-ams or certainly amateur fights, specifically in the state of Michigan where we are, I'm actually surprised that it's, given the oversight that happens in some of these states, that it's not more rampant, because there just isn't at lower levels the oversight that's needed for a sport like this at the level of danger that these competitors are competing in. Sometimes for money, sometimes for not very much money, and then sometimes not for money at all. It's a dangerous, dangerous sport. And what Cavallo's case shows us is that even at the semi-pro to pro level, there are still things that can go very, very, very wrong, tragically wrong. And to look at this and think it's an anomaly, and to look at this and think, how do I find the things that explain what happened so that I can understand that this won't happen to the UFC, I think misses the point. And that is that this is something that we as fans of the sport need to understand, that this is not a safe sport. It might be a safer sport, but it is not a safe sport. And that when something like this happens, to me, the reaction is, I want to gather as much information as I possibly can, and I want to understand what is happening in the sport at the checks and balances level so that this doesn't happen ever again. I'm not naive enough to think that this won't ever happen again. I mean, as I just told you, we were on death's door, so to speak, with Dada 5000, and it's a miracle that that isn't a case that had happened in professional mixed martial arts in the United States, because it was as close as I believe that you can get without it actually happening. And then we go over to Ireland and you experience this tragedy and you understand that this sport is very, very, very dangerous. We enjoy it. Absolutely. It's fun for us to watch. Absolutely. And you can argue that it may have been the ref's fault. It could have been the oversight of the promoter's fault. There's a million people that you can try and cast blame on, but you and I do not have enough information to do any of that stuff. You have seen, unless you have seen the full video, which I have not, and if you have it, I would love to see it, but I have not seen it anywhere. So you and I have seen 1 minute and 5 seconds of a 3-round fight. You cannot build a case, compelling or otherwise, to tell me what happened in that fight leading up to this event that caused this to happen, because that 1 minute and 5 seconds doesn't look necessarily out of the normal considering most of the fights that you see and how they are finished. So I think until we have more information, or until somebody has seen the whole fight in video form, because there were obviously people there who have their versions of the story, but even if you're there and you're not paying attention, or at least don't know, obviously you don't know what's going to happen, and if you don't know what's going to happen, it's hard to prepare your brain to take in the right inputs to see the things you need to see to go, okay, maybe here is where his team should have stopped this, right? And I don't know, and I don't have the information to make that assumptive leap, so I'm not going to. What I am going to say is it is a tragedy. And unfortunately, I don't believe it to be a tragedy that is going to be the outlier. And I think the Dada 5000 case, coupled with Cavallo in Ireland, should be the canaries in the coal mine that we need to be really, 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 really careful. And the UFC has a ton of oversight and a ton of looking into the welfare of the fighters. And that has served very well for the health of the fighters. But even that can fail. And if it fails, this is the outcome that can and may happen. My guess is if it's going to, it's likely to happen on the Bellator side first, but that doesn't mean that the UFC will be inoculated from this not happening within their organization. It very well could happen in their organization. And so take a minute to understand that the response from the New York Post is not correct, and nor is the response saying the sport is fine and this is an outlier. Neither one of those are correct responses. More information is needed. More data is needed. More understanding of what was happening both before and afterwards to know that this was a thing that happened and here are the reasons why. You're hearing a lot of stories from the promoter and the venue and the medical personnel, but there is some context missing in those stories because they're just snippets that you're reading in news stories. And so until we have more information and know more of what was happening, like I said, both before and after and certainly during, it's impossible for either one of you to be right. It's impossible for the guy who says the sport is safe to be right. It's impossible for the guy to say the sport is barbaric to be right, because neither of you have one instance with not all of the information. So you cannot, scientifically or otherwise, make that assumptive leap. So as more details come out, we'll dig into this a little bit more, and I'll continue to look for more information so that hopefully we can make sense of this tragedy and work as a community to make sure that hopefully it never happens again. Okay, we will move to more, I guess, uplifting, and I don't know how to do a proper transition with this, but hopefully Josh can help me. So we're going to talk to Josh from Pop Evil. He is on the road. He is out west. We'll take a really quick break, and when we come back, we're going to break down the UFC on Fox card, talk about Lyoto and what happened to Lyoto this weekend. Like I said, we did this interview earlier today. It is Thursday, so neither one of us knew that Dan would have Hector Lombard, so it will appear as if we don't know that he has an opponent at UFC 199, but he will be fighting Hector Lombard at UFC 199, okay? So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, Josh from Pop Evil will talk about UFC on Fox this weekend. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
I used to work at Subway. $7 an hour wasn't much money, but I'd be rapping.
It is Way of the Warrior, and as promised, my dear friend Josh from Pop Evil, he is on the road. Where are you traveling to, Josh?
We are currently driving from Michigan to New Mexico, and I think we're in Missouri. I'm not even sure we are right now. We're outside of Joplin right now.
Nice. The tour in life, my friend. So things are going well for Pop Evil. How are things going for you personally?
Everything is very good, man. We just finished up a Canadian tour, which was split, very beautiful weather, and then awful snow, which is not... I love the snow, but not in April is the only thing.
Right,
so.
Right.
But things are great, man. We just released our third single off the record, or we're about to. Great success this year in a super action-packed summer coming up on us, so...
Crazy times for you guys, and crazy times for Lyoto Machida. You tweeted at me last night that you did not see this one coming, and I don't know that I saw it coming either, but if you missed the news, Lyoto Machida is out this weekend after he was caught in a pre-fight drug screening taking a supplement called 7-Keto, or Keto, I don't know how it's pronounced, that contains DHEA. And again, if you're not up on your supplements, what that is, it's an anabolic agent that can be used for one of two things, mostly either sex drive, what Anderson Silva would use it for, or to build muscle, which is apparently what Lyoto would use it for. But what's interesting about this, Josh, is, you know, a lot of people online between yesterday and today are trying to make the comparisons to the Hector Lombard case, right?
Right.
And you know, the difference here being, and you know this because this is, you know, the supplement world and CrossFit, this is your life, right? You know that when you go into a random GNC and you pick up any supplement, there really isn't an agent making sure that what's on that package is the only thing that's in that package.
Well, and not only is there not an agent doing that, but there's also no regulation stating that you have to put every single ingredient on yes. supplementation. Right. That's a really shitty gray area that is unaddressed in the health and fitness world overall.
And so with those two pieces of context, that's what happens and why the difference is between these two cases. Hector Lombard takes a supplement where the thing he gets busted for is not on it. And there's, again, there's nobody saying that you have to put it on there or that it needs to be illustrated at all. So, you know, he kind of gets to turn the light back on USADA and everything turns out all right for him. The difference with this, though, is that 7-Keto, it says right on the package, contains DHEA. In fact, if you Google it, and you can feel free to do that, it shows up. So the fact,
right.
you know, the fact that Lyoto's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know what I was taking, I find to be embarrassing at best and idiotic at worst.
Yeah, and I think it comes down, and to my opinion, the athlete has to take a responsibility to say that, you know, yes, you trust your coaches and your trainers, but you have to have a level of awareness. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to, like, finger through and research every single product that you take, but, like, dude, if it's on the ingredient list, like, just have an awareness, like, to know what you're putting in your body.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, let's take you for an example. Would you, if tonight somebody handed you a snare drum you'd never played, would you slap that on the kit and see what happens tonight?
Not a chance.
Okay, right. So if somebody hands you a cup of something, would you at least, I don't know, look at the bottle maybe? I mean, this is what you do for
That's
a living.
The athlete has to take a responsibility to go and look, man. Like, have an awareness to know what you're putting inside of yourself. I mean, oh my gosh.
Right.
I don't understand.
So obviously the fight with him and Dan Henderson this weekend is off. There was no way. And I look, there is no fault of the UFC. There is as old as Dan Henderson is, nobody should be taking Hendo on 3 days notice. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to be I totally agree. It would be a madness to take that kind of fight, or really any fight, but especially Henderson in 3 days. And also, when you're fighting Henderson with the way he's currently positioned, I understand he is a name and he's going to sell tickets, but, you know, everyone else in that weight class, there isn't a lot to gain by beating Dan Henderson, and that's unfortunate in the current circumstance. But it's not like he's the fifth-ranked, you know, fighter in this weight class.
No.
And, like, someone could jump a whole bunch of – if they did, you know, he's obviously beyond the peak in his career, and the UFC is pulling a fighter who is very popular. People are going to pay to see or want to tune in to watch, especially when you have two names like him and Lyoto. But now you're looking at a name with a pretty unfortunate low ranking for himself, and there's not a lot to be gained from that, you know.
No, because he's not the fifth ranked. He's actually the first oldest, right? Like, you're not gonna,
yeah.
you're not going to get very much by beating him. But even if you're, you know, if you look at, you look further down the card, Nurmagomedov was supposed to take on Tony Ferguson. He's got Horsher. I mean, Horsher has a ton to gain if he beats Nurmagomedov, right? Where the same isn't hold true if Horsher, let's say, was in the same weight class and fights Dan Henderson.
Correct. And you see those fights occasionally where the UFC will give people opportunities. You know, I remember... oh my gosh, the Condit fight, was it Alves they gave that fight to?
Yes.
Like last year?
Yeah.
And you know, that was like in good faith to say that Alves had a rough patch, but he was hot before that. And you know, to give him kind of a leap of faith to be a notable fighter, and you see what happened, you know, Alves didn't win the fight anyway, so nothing happened. But there's just not a lot to be given. You know, the only way that you could really market this card would be if you could market it to Henderson fighting someone who is ranked, and no one in their right mind ranked high is going to take a Henderson fight on 3 days' notice.
No, I mean, because, like, regardless of how old he is, the H-bomb is a real thing, and I just don't know that you want – there's too much to risk, and I don't know if you caught this because I know you've been traveling, but Matt Brown was actually on with Luke Thomas on Sirius XM this week, and they were asking him, you know, there's all these fighters that are being super protective and trying to like pave their way and being selective about who they fight and when they fight. And Matt Brown was like, look, that's not really my thing. I just want to go out there and fight. But Matt Brown's the anomaly. Most guys want to make a career of this and go for the title. That's not to say that Matt Brown doesn't want to go for the title, but he's one of those warrior guys that wants to challenge himself. I would be willing to, I'd be willing to bet that Robbie Lawler would be much the same, right? Willing to fight anybody, you know, anybody, anytime, anywhere. But
yeah, and I love those guys, but you don't see those guys walking around with a belt very long.
No, you don't. I mean, and it's been a surprise that Robbie actually is, because he's been in, I mean, for as young as he is, has been in some incredible wars that I'm just stunned that he's still holding that belt. But we'll, you know, this could be an interesting year for Nate Diaz, right? So who knows what's going to happen by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, with addressing that, I will say that when you have a warrior guy like that, and he, you know, somewhat of a Conor McGregor, even if you will, and willing to fight anyone, anytime, you know, when you do those fights and then you win, you are the one that sells tickets and you hit big paydays, but you're risking it all. It's like, it's no different than gambling. You know, you're playing roulette, you could put, you know, a dollar on 20 numbers, but to put $20 on one number is risky.
Right.
But if it hits, you get paid. So congratulations.
Before we jump into the rest of the Fox card, I want to get your thoughts. Josh from Pop Evil is joining us. What are your thoughts on this Conor McGregor Nate Diaz rematch? Are you into this or are you not into this?
I have really mixed feelings, man. I don't understand it, I guess, really. You know, I get that it's going to sell tickets. So from a financial standpoint in UFC, I get it. But I don't know, man. For me, it's not a fight. It's going to be an exciting fight, and I like that. But I've never been a huge fan of immediate rematches. I don't know. I guess I'm really just not very – I'm not excited about that rematch right now.
Would you have been super excited had he beat Diaz and got GSP? Would that have been a good thing for you?
McGregor GSP?
Because that was the rumor that if he beat Diaz, that UFC 200 was going to be headlined by McGregor GSP.
See, I mean, I don't know that there's a bigger fight manageable right now than that. I mean, honestly, especially when you take someone who. So you have GSP's, you know, credibility, winning percentage, but also lack of fight finishing. And then you combine that with McGregor's fight wins, winning percentage, and constant fight finishing ability, you know. But looking at the fight now, what, maybe GSP just takes him down and out wrestles him again, just like Diaz. I mean, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it would be an interesting thing. I mean, we probably won't see it at this point. Another one of those fights, though, that we do get, BJ Penn and Dennis Seaver. Your thoughts on that one at UFC 199?
I've always, growing up, was a huge fan of BJ Penn, but I don't know that there's a lot. I think it's like a fan fight, you know, there's not really anything riding on the fight.
Right.
But I mean, I'm always excited to watch BJ Penn get in the ring. For me, that alone is cool. I do wish. I don't understand his plans. So is he planning on coming back to fight
No, he says he's in a rebuilding phase. But here's my thoughts, Josh, is I can't help but close my eyes and all I see is that Nick Diaz BJ Penn fight. And I don't ever want to see that again.
Yeah, I mean, that was devastating.
You know, like you just don't want to see your idols beaten to a bloody pulp. And Dennis Seaver, you know, regardless of what happened between him and Conor McGregor, he's no slouch and was not a slouch leading up to that McGregor fight, right? So, I mean, he says he's in a rebuilding phase, but that is not an easy rebuild going against Dennis Seaver. But we've got UFC on Fox this weekend. The headlining fight, it is Glover Teixeira taking on Rashad Evans. It was supposed to be headlined, as I said earlier, Nurmagomedov and Tony Ferguson. Tony Ferguson out with a life-saving surgery because he had blood and liquid in his lungs that they have to take care of. So the main event now is Glover and Rashad Evans. Rashad, obviously his last loss, Ryan Bader, and before that took 2 years off after he beat and Hendo in 2013. Glover, this is his first fight in 16. He is on a two-fight win streak against Patrick Cummins and OSP, and before that lost to Phil Davis and Jones. Your thoughts, my friend, on what happens on Saturday night?
I mean, coming into the fight, looking at what the information that's available, you know, Glover, to me, looks to be favored. He's fought more recently. He's on a fight win streak, and his two you know, his last losses were to very good fighters.
Right, yes.
It's not like he walked in and had a bad fight and now he's, like, in a slump or figuring out what he's doing with his life. He lost to, you know, the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, and he lost to a tough Phil Davis who, I don't know, shows up for some fights and then other fights is kind of an anomaly to me. I don't really understand.
Right. Yeah, well, he's kind of like Gustafson, right? Shows up for big fights, doesn't really show up for other fights.
Right, right. Nonetheless, so Glover's had a great go at it. Rashad, you know, crazy loss to Bader, and then the kind of absence from the sport makes me, you know, obviously he could have taken the time off and got his head straight, got his training straight and come back, you know, the old Sugar Rashad that we all saw and knew when he first broke onto the scene and kind of flew up the rankings.
Right.
But I don't know that we see that. I think that the sport has kind of evolved away, and, you know, you're seeing he's kind of the tail end of that last generation of fighters. Not that Glover is a young kid by any means either.
Right, right.
But I think he has a little more momentum in his core carrying him through. So I think with my personal opinion, I have to take Glover to win that fight. But
And I don't disagree with you. I do think, though, that if Evans loses this fight, he'll look better than he did in that loss to Bader.
I hope so. I mean, Glover is a better, like, I like Ryan Bader, but he's been that guy that could never win the big fight.
Right.
He's like a very consistent seventh-ranked, you know, fighter. He beats everyone he's supposed to beat usually, and he loses to everyone he's supposed to lose to, and that's not a terrible spot to be in, but, like, Rashad Evans should be a better fighter than Ryan Bader. I don't know what is going on for that.
Well, you took 2 years. I mean, like you just said, you took 2 years off when it was evolving at its fastest, and you came back, and Ryan Bader is a better fighter than he was when you left. Like, I don't disagree with you. In 2013, Rashad Evans wipes the floor with Ryan Bader, but that clearly didn't happen in 2015.
Exactly.
Co-main event.
I think Rashad.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Know,
no, go ahead.
No, I think Rashad may be in for a rude awakening in this fight, and Glover's a punishing guy. You know, he's not – he is not a necessarily a technician that's looking to just outscore you. You know, he's a finisher, so.
Well, and, it, you know, if it ends up against the cage, I don't – you know, I do not like Rashad's chances if it ends up against the cage.
Yeah, Rashad's one huge benefit. You know, his boxing is good and his wrestling is great. So he has a shot, you know, with that.
But
get through the jiu-jitsu and the striking of if you're standing up and banging, it might be scary.
Well, and if you know, if it gets ugly, right, I think Glover gets you against the cage and starts throwing elbows. That is not where Rashad wants this fight to be.
No, and that's where Glover, I think, you know, prefers it to be ugly and dirty and grind it out in a very close combat quarter. So
for sure. The co-main event, since Rashad and Glover move up to main event, with what women's MMA has done in the last 12 months, this is a very exciting co-main event. Rose Namajunas taking on Tisha Torres. Rose last beat Paige VanZant on a Fight Pass card. Before that, beat Angela Hill. Tisha Torres technically undefeated in MMA. She lost two fights on The Ultimate Fighter, but they don't technically count those towards your record. But she lost to Carla Esparza and Randa Marcos on the show, but has not lost in her professional career. This is a very, very fun fight. And Josh, I don't know your thoughts on what's happening right now in women's MMA, but it's a really exciting time to watch this part of the sport blossom.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, so rewinding just a second, you know, I think Ronda Rousey exposed how exciting women's MMA could be. And then she almost kind of made it boring because, like, she got so big so fast, took us all our interest, and then wrecked everyone. And then now with the recent mix-up of, you know, not only Holly beating her, really, I mean, and decimating her, and then Holly coming in and having lost their very next fight. Like, now it's kind of a big free-for-all and jungle, and it's very exciting again.
Well, and what I like about this is you've got Rose, who her last fight, she beat Paige VanZant. Paige VanZant is getting tons of accolades for being on Dances with the Stars, so it just elevates this sport even more, and this is going to be a really, really fun fight. I think Rose, though, I just love the way that she fights, and I think it's going to be a really tough night for Tisha, and I think Rose is going to win.
I absolutely feel the same way. You know, there are a few girls that the one thing I think as the sport grows and when the UFC becomes more popular, you know, one-dimensional fighters and even two-dimensional fighters are going to be exposed more and more, where you'll see, like, currently there's some girls who have been able to go you know, undefeated or even like 6-1 and really climb pretty quickly. But when you're exposed to an elite fighter, you look exposed. Rose has done a great job of continuously not only being a great fighter, but she gets better.
Well, I mean, that, like, that fight against Paige VanZant was, I mean, a textbook beautiful, beautiful technical fight by her.
Yes, yes.
And I just think, you know, her against Tisha, it's going to be fun, but I just think she's going to be too much for her.
Yeah, I mean, her experience and composure, and she's been tested, and that's a big thing that sometimes you don't see is you have people who fly up the rankings and haven't been in a fight yet, then what happens when they're back against the wall? And you said Rose is textbook. She's a very technically sound fighter, and that's tough to beat.
Absolutely. And as we talked about earlier, was the main event, now is further down the card as the return of Khabib Nurmagomedov taking on Horsher, who obviously most people have never heard of. I won't spend much time talking about this, but it's hard to bet against Nurmagomedov, who, if he had been competing for the last 2 years as opposed to injured, I would assume, and I don't know where you are, but I would assume he would be holding the belt right now. And so I really expect him to squash Horsher in a matter of seconds.
I definitely think that, yeah, Horsher is in for, I mean, I know he's excited. I'm sure it's a great opportunity for him, but he may have jumped off into the deep end a little bit too quickly.
I'm picturing Patrick Cummings versus Daniel Cormier is what I'm picturing.
Yeah, I mean, you're like, you wait for that chance and you're like, you kind of break in through the ice and like, yeah, no, I need that one fight. And now, like, they're going to give you the one fight, but it maybe you regret getting that one fight.
For sure, for sure. A couple more fights before we let you go and get back to the touring life. There's some great fights on the undercard that you can check out. Benny Dariush is taking on Mike Chiesa, which is an amazing fight. Beth Cohea makes her return. She's taking on Raquel Pennington. And John Dodson is back early on the card on Fight Pass, taking on Manny Gamburian, which to me is probably the don't-miss fight of the undercard, if you're asking me. Dodson and Gamburian, I think, is going to be an amazing fight.
Yeah, I mean, Manny's just a bulldog. He even win or lose, that dude never puts on a boring fight. He never has, and I really enjoy that about him. He gets in there, he gets it ugly, and he's not afraid to beat up or to get beat up, which is probably why he's still on the undercard. But I love watching him fight.
Yeah, but I think, you know, to go back to what we were just saying, if you put Dodson's speed and his technical style against a guy who wants to make it ugly, that's what I find fun about, obviously, all of these fights. But Glover and Evans, a very similar fight. This is just at a lower weight and a much faster speed. And ugly and fast, I think, can be a lot of fun, especially on the undercard.
I 100% agree. A lot of people, you know, at the undercard are looking to make that big jump up, so they need to be, they almost need to be a little more reckless, and that makes for a very exciting fight.
Absolutely. Josh from Pop Evil, thank you for the time, my friend. If people want to holla at you, is Twitter the best place to do that?
Absolutely. Hit me up anytime or reach out to me on Twitter and Instagram. It's just at Josh Chachi Marundi on Instagram, and at Twitter is at Josh Marundi.
All right, my friend, enjoy the touring life, and I cannot wait to grab a beer when you are back in town. Thank you for the time, and it was great, dude.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you so much. I can't wait for the fight.
All right, bud. Be well.
Thank you.
And there he goes, Josh from Pop Evil. Make sure you grab their new record go say hi to him on Twitter, Josh Chachi Marunde. And I will put those in the show notes if you missed all of that Twitter speak, and you can find him there. Okay, this weekend, if you want to play along, you can do that easily on Twitter or Facebook by searching WOW Show. Ken will be back next week. Again, want to shout out to Ryan Dempsey joining the team this week. He's been holding it down on Facebook and Twitter, so all the cool stories that have been being posted this week are all done by him. So shout out to him if you head to the Facebook page today or anytime this weekend. Have a wonderful weekend. We will talk next week. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.